Today is the eighth day of Christmas. You know, we know the song, the 12 days of Christmas, but we really paid little attention to it. The world has already forgotten about Christmas. Many people have taken down their tree and their ornaments, and the church is really right in the middle of our Christmas celebration. While the Christmas carols are done on the radio, they are not done in the church. We continue to celebrate the joy and the majesty of Christmas all the way through Epiphany. We pray that God would bless us in that respect. Oh, by the way, it just happens to be New Year's Day, but the church celebrated New Year's Day about 5 weeks ago because the church is on a completely different calendar. We pray that God would bless us as we do not become obsessed and absorbed by the things of this world, but hear God's Word and relish and revel in His gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, we just heard the prelude, Angels from the Realms of Glory, great Christmas hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. All the candles are lit. We sing the Gloria with the angels, and our Christmas celebration continues. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You this day for the gift of a Son, Your Son, God in the flesh, born in a wooden manger, and Heavenly Father, giving way to a wooden cross. Heavenly Father, help us to see how Christ has fulfilled the law for us, how Christ has paid our penalty, and how Christ, God in the flesh, for us, really present with us, continues to bring us peace. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 367, please stand on verse 5. Page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Mightier than the waves of the sea.
to God on high. God, our Maker and Redeemer, You wonderfully created us and in the incarnation of Your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in Him who made Himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated. Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On a starlit hillside, shepherds watch their sheep. Slowly David's city drifted off to sleep. But to this little town of no great renown, the Lord had a promise to keep. Prophets had foretold it, a mighty king would come. Long awaited ruler, God's anointed one. But the sovereign of all looked helpless and small as he gave the world his own son. And who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that God could be held in our hands? The giver of life was born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan to save the world. Wondrous gift of heaven, the Father sends the Son, planned from time eternal, moved by holy love. He will carry our curse, and death he'll reverse, so we can be daughters and sons. And who would have dreamed or ever foreseen many souls would be pierced by a sword? The giver of life was born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan to save the world. And who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that God could be held in our hands? The giver of life was born in the night, revealing God's glorious plan to save the world.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father! So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with the Alleluia. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. According to St. Luke, the second chapter. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith as we use the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory, to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world. Please be seated. We continue now with our hymn of the day, 389. Let all together praise our God.
Today, on the eighth day of Christmas, the church continues her celebration of the birth of Christ. But for the world, the party is over. The presents have long been opened. The ball has dropped in Times Square. Dead Christmas trees will soon litter our sidewalks. And baby Jesus, along with all the other Christmas decorations, will soon be put away in a box until next year. This year, most of us will get one extra day of holiday before work or school resume. But by Tuesday, the reality of life in 2017 will have begun to set in. This year will begin to look a lot like last year and the year before. Except that this year, many of us are now poorer, all of us are older, and now Princess Leia is dead. But here in church, the party is not over. The story of salvation that begins in the manger does not end there. So in our gospel text, we find Jesus not in the manger, but 40 days later in the temple. But the world is not interested in hearing about Jesus at this point. Someone once said that the trouble with a kitten is that eventually it becomes a cat. This is the same trouble that the world has with Jesus. The world can tolerate him for a few days as long as he stays in that manger. But if he grows up, there's no telling what Jesus might do or say. And so we see that the world is in a big hurry to put Jesus away the day after Christmas begins. Simeon prophesied that Jesus would cause trouble. He said to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against." Jesus causes division. He is the rock of offense, and many have stumbled and fallen against him. Jesus' conception caused a scandal. His birth troubled Herod and all Jerusalem, and things only went downhill from there. Many people think that Jesus came primarily preaching a message of love and tolerance, the brotherhood of man. But this is not the Jesus of Scripture. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn titled, "Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild." But the Jesus of Scripture says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the world. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." That's not very nice. That doesn't sound very gentle, meek, or mild. And sinful man has no use for a Jesus who brings division. Give us a Jesus who will help patch up our broken lives and relationships. Give me a Jesus who will help my dysfunctional family gather, if not this year, but perhaps next year, around the Christmas tree. After all, Christmas is about family, is it not? But the Jesus of Scripture continues, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." Well then, stop the train and let me off, because this is not the Jesus we were looking for. You see, I have certain parts of my life that needs fixing. And if Jesus is not here to do what I want, then what good is he? This is how the old Adam thinks. We don't want division. We want Jesus who brings peace. But what do we mean by peace? You see, to this sinful world, peace simply means agreeing to disagree. It means sweeping things under the carpet, pasting smiles on our faces, and hoping that none of the kids tell the truth about Aunt Myra's shortcake. peace means talking about the weather and not about anything that matters. Peace means tolerating what others believe, because as the world tells us, all opinions are equally valid. But the peace that this world gives is false. And Jesus has come to bring division to this peace. He does not claim to offer a truth. He does not claim to be a Savior. He does not claim to be a way. Jesus claims to be the only way, the only truth, the only Savior that can give us life. Every other path leads to destruction. Every other opinion is wrong. Only Jesus is right. Now, this seems to be the height of arrogance. According to this world, the one cardinal sin, the only thing that is unpardonable, is to be intolerant. To say that your way is right and every other way is wrong. And so for this reason, Jesus is a sign that is spoken against. The world's okay with Jesus the baby. It doesn't even mind Jesus the moral teacher, but the world despises Jesus the Savior. Jesus the only way. Jesus the divider. He is a rock of offense, appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel. And you see, it was not just the heathen who were offended with Jesus. His biggest enemies were from God's own people, from within the church. When Jesus says that He is the way to God, this means that every other way that we have constructed to make peace with God is worthless. This means that your lifetime of holy living cannot bring you closer to God. Your ledger of charitable contributions adds up to nothing. Your good works are, as Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, filthy, bloody rags. And Jesus has come to destroy any false comfort that you might find in your own works for righteousness. He comes to shatter this false peace, to expose these vain idols, and to reveal the thoughts and hearts of many. Jesus does not come as the Savior we would have chosen. He comes as the Savior we need. He doesn't come to give us temporary peace with our family members. He comes to give us eternal peace with God. He doesn't come to put a little more Christmas joy or a little more cheer in your heart. He comes to give you a new heart entirely. As Simeon said, that sword did indeed pierce Mary's heart as she looked upon her son hanging from his cross, bleeding and dying for her sin. And yet Mary's sorrow did not compare to Jesus' own sorrow as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father looked upon his own son and saw instead the greatest sinner in the world and turned his back. Jesus, who had shared in the divine communion of the Trinity from eternity, hung suspended between earth and heaven, rejected by men and forsaken by his Father. Truly, he is a sign that is opposed. For it was the will of God to crush him. God has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for our guilt. But out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one make many to be accounted righteous. and he shall bear their iniquities. Jesus is not the Savior you would have chosen, but he, the Savior, chose you. He took your sins, and in exchange, he gave you his perfect righteousness, so that the Father, who turned his back on Jesus, would not turn his back on you. For when God looks at you, he sees his dear child, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And not the false peace that the world gives. The peace that only Christ can give. The peace that flows from his cross. The peace that is nothing other than the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of your sins, every last one. This peace is the peace that mends broken relationships and brings families back together. This is the peace that passes all human understanding. The peace that is not shattered by the tempests of life. The peace that does not disappear the day after Christmas. For it is founded on the rock that cannot be moved. And this rock, this stone that the builders rejected, God has made the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. But this rock, Jesus, continues to cause division today. His name is blasphemed. His followers are persecuted. His cross is scorned. But the message of the gospel has not changed. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, to you. It is Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. Simeon prophesied that Christ was appointed for the fall and rising of many. Many have fallen, and many will yet stumble and be offended at Christ. The gospel offends the proud. In fact, you have living within you a proud old Adam that is continually offended by the gospel. But this is no longer who you are. That sinful flesh was crucified and nailed to Christ's cross. It was drowned beneath the waters of baptism. And when God looks at you, he does not see a sinner. He sees his spotless child. And so, as a child of God, together with St. Paul and the rest of the Christian church on earth, you can boldly confess your faith in the Christ child who was appointed for your rising. We confess, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And now may this peace of Christ, this peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. In his name, amen. Please stand for the offertory.
be seated. Again, welcome in the name of Jesus, who truly is our peace, our Savior, our forgiveness, our eternal life. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of true peace in Jesus Christ would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Continue now with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for the family of Gloria Pospisil, whose brother Lavelle passed away recently. And we also rejoice with Brent Stellick, whose father has been hospitalized for quite some time and has now returned home. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens are the work of your fingers, yet you have willed to save us in the most humble and sacrificial of ways. On the eighth day after being born of the Virgin Mary, your Son was already at work for our salvation, by fulfilling your law and shedding his blood. Receive our thanks for the gift of righteousness and grace from his life of perfect obedience and his death in our place for our sin and all sin. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
Almighty God, in your good and gracious will, you ordained that the infant Jesus might labor for our salvation. Grant that we might always recognize that the smallest and frailest among us are instruments of your blessing and under your protection. And give us steadfast boldness to defend the lives of the weakest among us. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, in keeping with your word and in thanksgiving for your promises, Mary and Joseph obeyed your command for Jesus on the eighth day, that he might be numbered among your people. Bring children to the waters of holy baptism, that they too might be numbered among your saints for the sake of Jesus. Bless parents with godly wisdom and steadfast faith, that they might care for their children in both body and soul. give to them the loving discipline to bless their children. Pray with them daily at home and bring them faithfully to your house, that they might grow in faith and be preserved eternally among your people. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we were held captive under the law and condemned by our sin until your Son set us free by his life, death, and resurrection. We give you thanks that we are heirs of your kingdom by grace through faith. And we pray that this gift of salvation might kindle in us a gratitude and desire to fulfill your law and to obey your commandments in service to you and in love for one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord of hosts, you declare that sinners cannot look upon your face and live because of their unrighteousness. Yet, for the sake of Christ, you now cause your face to shine upon us as you are gracious to us. Bless and keep us by your grace, and especially remember those in need who cry out to you for mercy, the sick, the suffering, the grieving. According to your will and wisdom, lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have clothed us with Christ and his righteousness in the waters of holy baptism. And now you give us his body and blood for true peace, the forgiveness of sins. Grant to all who receive your Holy Supper this day humble hearts that acknowledge their sin and rejoice in your undeserved grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
kingdom come, thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. is the true body of the Lord and Savior, given unto the best for you. The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. Closing hymn number 386. Now sing we, now rejoice. proper time. Merry Christmas.
Pray God's blessing in our 12-day celebration of Christmas on Wednesday, a couple of days early.
But on Wednesday, we'll celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. And on Wednesday, we're back with midweek and confirmation classes as well. Our 7th and 8th graders have their essay due on Wednesday night. So hope and pray that everybody has an opportunity during the break to work on and finish that. We invite you now to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. One opportunity for Bible study today. We'll continue our look at Article 1 of the Epitome of the Formula of Concord, Original Sin. That'll be in there. We'll get going with our Sunday school opening in here in about 7 or 8 minutes or so. So kids got plenty of time to get some goodies as well. Regular Sunday here for us. The office will be closed tomorrow for the holiday, as a lot of places in town are closed as well. But we have a lot of activities and a lot of things happening. Check out the news and notes so you don't miss any of them. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have a mission festival. Pastor Murundi will tell us about his work with the Lutherans in South Africa. And also that afternoon, we have our big soup cook-off. That's the 15th. That's 2 weeks from today. And let's see, 29th. Something going on there, too. Nah, I don't remember. Life Sunday on the 29th. Life Sunday on the 29th. Thank you. And then on Thursday, the 2nd of February, not only is it Groundhog's Day, but that's when we're going to have our Pancake Feed fundraiser for the Pediatric Cancer Action Network. We've done this the last few years. It's a great, great service opportunity here. There's a sign-up sheet. We could use some helpers, so check that out as well. Pastor Murundi's got the weekend off. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. Been a wild ride during this Advent and Christmas season with the new baby. And we pray that God would give them strength and joy and sleep, I think most of all. Vicar, anything else? Join us for coffee and goodies. Have a great day and week and Christmas and life in the peace that is Jesus Christ.